What's up, everybody? It's Keith from the Stream Team. With me, as always, Chris Lowry and Cole Miller. And today, we have got a wild ride of a movie that I had not heard of prior to Cole picking it, and I'm glad he did, because this movie is just an absolute action feast from beginning to end. So going to Netflix, 2011, The Raid Redemption.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right up my alley.
Oh, man, yeah, this is... And that's what I was telling him prior to us getting on here. I feel like this is the kind of movie that I really enjoy, and I'm just surprised that I hadn't heard of it prior to him suggesting it. I just hadn't seen it anywhere, but I feel like a buddy would have watched it, or honestly, one of you guys would have watched it and been like, oh, go check this out. I think y'all really enjoy this, and then watch it and be like, man, I've really slept on this. But again, glad that we picked this, but it is a hell of a movie, honestly. Like I said, it came out in 2011, directed by Gareth Evans. Rotten Tomatoes score, 87-87. The critics and the users were both on the same page on this, and I agree with that score. I'd actually...
87-87?
Yeah, yes, sir. I would put it at 90-90, potentially, but I'm cool with 87-87 as well.
Yeah, that's pretty solid.
Absolutely. This is the second movie that we have done that has been in all subtitles. The first, of course, being Parasite, a favorite of ours, and of course cleaned up at the Oscars, and so this is something that, you know, just like you're saying, I'm glad people could get over the 1-inch barrier that is the subtitles to get through a movie. But this movie is a thrill ride from beginning to end. It realistically does not let up for an hour and 40 minutes runtime, but it's good like that. But then we still have the backstory and we still know what's going on as well.
Yeah, it's quick. It's a quick one.
It is. It really is. It's almost an hour and 40-minute just fist fight. I mean, I know that there is a lot of gunplay in this, and there's a lot of shootouts and gunfire and such. But there, yeah, from the jump,
yeah, from the jump,
it goes and doesn't let up. Like I said, Rotten Tomatoes score 87-87, very fair. Gareth Evans directed this. A budget of $1.1 million. This movie did almost $10 million, which doesn't sound like a lot. Of course, with a lot of the movies that we've done more recently, the Mission Impossible that have been in the, you know, $600-700 million range, but I feel like a movie that is this low budget and to do what it did.
Yeah. $1.1 right. million into 10, though.
That's solid. That's
solid.
Really solid.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's still...
Being able to pull this movie off for $1.1 million is kind of the reason that I wanted to do this movie to begin with, just because, like, there's just so much cool shit that they do in this and do it for such a limited budget, right? Like, this is a, you know, it's a pretty basic story. They're going to do a raid, right? And that in itself is always going to be something that works well, but the way they're able to use the set pieces, the way they're able to use the, you know, the choreography in this, like, that had to be 800,000 of the fucking budget, you know. And then getting all these actors that are relatively unknown, and then, you know, having such a cool complete action movie is really fucking crazy.
It is. No, it really, to have this, and I was going to go into that because, Chris, you actually you touched on this last week when you were talking about the budget of Mission Impossible and how it, you know, you said it was so expensive, it looked cheap, kind of. It was like, if that made any sense. But this is just that, where this, using a budget like this, it almost made it look like it had a higher budget. And I think that that's something that we've talked about, like, with several different movies and the practicality. And that's why we liked it so much, and that's why a movie like Aliens and others that we've gushed over have stood the test of time, because they have used more practical effects, or Cole, like you're talking about, using the choreography. You know, we have something like this where, I mean, man, this movie it's like we're in one place, right? We don't leave that particular set, and it's just people were just fighting in different rooms. And so the whole time we're just watching this SWAT team get picked off one by one while they still try to achieve their objective. You know, Chris talking about, you know, a movie that's low budget like this, but still able to, like, the visuals in this movie were great. I thought, you know, given the lighting, the lack thereof, given the camera work and all the technical aspects of it, for $1 million budget, this movie actually looks like it exceeds that and then some, right?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Like, for the budget that we've already discussed, you know, and to look this good, it is kind of phenomenal. I think it kind of benefits from it being in this kind of almost rundown, you know, big complex. But, you know, it'd be easy to take the easy. I'm like, oh, well, it's in a shitty building, so it's okay that it has, like, shitty lighting. But it's like, even in the moments where it's kind of dark and dull, the movie is still framed well. Like, the lighting that they do use, like, it still looks good. You know, like, it'd be easy to take the copy, like, oh, well, this is taking place in a terrible-looking environment, so it's fine that the movie looks terrible. But it's like, no, it's like it's in a ugly, kind of dimly look, dark and murky environment, but we can utilize the light that we do have, and we can, you know, frame that and, you know, make the best use of additional ways to kind of light additional frame to still make it look good. And that's one of those things, like, you just get down to, do you just have people on set that just know how to make a movie, right? You don't have the extra, you know, $20 million to, you know, fix the lighting in post. I'm like, oh, well, it's just dark, ugly environment, but we're able to put this effect on it to make it easier to see, right? It's like, you know, you have to have people both in the edit and, you know, on set that day who know how to still make this shit work.
Yeah,
you know,
basically,
I mean?
Geniuses.
And that, yeah, like, you have to have, like, you don't have the benefit of letting the technology save you on the back end of this. Like, you have to be like, okay, this is terribly lit. How can I get the best possible shot of this? Not just for the sake of saving face, but to make it also look cool and be able to convey all the things that I want to convey. And, like, it'd be very easy to lose a lot of the action because there is a lot of action and fucking finishing moves and combos and all sorts of just fighting techniques in this. And it'd be easy to be like, man, it's kind of hard to see it sometimes, but that just genuinely never happens. And again, it never feels like, you know, like, the lighting just artificially got better. They just found a way to make it work. And that is insane that, you know, you just take $1 million, this simple of a plot, and you're just like, you know, I'm just going to be able to make all this shit work because I'm going to bring in people, you know, both on the acting side and on the production side that just know how to pull this off. And that is truly crazy. Like, I feel like I rambled a bit because just, like, it is so insane that something, you know, that this is able to come together and look like this and just be
right,
put together
because,
this
you know,
well.
They can, you know, like, yeah.
Touche. He came to cook.
Well, thinking about a movie.
Like, that just doesn't make any
it doesn't,
sense,
man.
You know,
like,
what I mean?
Just piggybacking off what you said, like, one of the reasons I love this movie so much is it's like 100% what you just said, Chris. They found 10 maybe, because $1 million isn't enough money for, like, a full production crew. And
right.
They're like, hey, this is what we got. We have to stretch it. We have to make this work. And, you know, like, you can tell that there are times where the lighting is not much more than somebody holding a fucking flashlight. You know what I mean? And they're just like,
yes,
somehow
right.
We're going to do a really cool, like, screenshot. We're going to do the one that comes to my mind is when the machete goes through the wall and then camera goes with the machete the whole way, and it's just like, okay, how, like, Quentin Tarantino would be jealous of that shot, you know what I mean? Because, like, there would be no way that he would consider that is something that you would, I mean, well, he would, but you get what I mean by that. Like, it's like there's just ingenuity that came into this movie to make that sort of thing happen. And at no point were you just bogged down that it was a cheaply made movie. It was always like, I mean, there, the more you watch it, if you watch it like 4 or 5 times, you'll start seeing a few things that are like, oh yeah, that is a, you know, there's a trash receptacle in the bathroom or whatever it is. But, like, those are the types of things that make this movie really cool.
Right. There's several shots in particular where I was really gushing over that one. Cole, you're absolutely right. The shot where the SWAT team got pinched and it was just the Tama or Tama had turned the lights off in the whole facility, and then his guys, you know, had the advantage, they were overlooking the SWAT team, and the one SWAT officer shot his shotgun. They could see the other guys standing out on the ledge out there on the balcony, and so then, you know, those guys got to jump on him. But, like, that slow motion shot, and then the shot where that one kid saw the whole SWAT team in the hallway and the one SWAT officer shot at him through the door. And it felt like, y'all ever seen the video, the corn video, Freak on a Leash, where it follows the bullet throughout the whole video? It felt like that.
Yeah.
It felt just like that. And so
it was kind of like that because it was going through the door. That was super sweet. Yeah.
It was sick. Yeah. And it's just a simple shot too. But and I think that's the brilliance of a movie like this. Like, you know, just like both of y'all are talking about, wherever there is a small budget. And so just making the most of a little bit. And I think that's what this movie does. And I think that's why I was so, outside of just the good action set pieces and truly the choreography of all the martial arts that happened in this. And we'll talk about later in trivia, but, like, having a movie like this where the budget is lower, but it just maximizes every single aspect of that, and it works. It doesn't look cheaply made, because, you know, looking at a movie with a $1 million budget, I automatically think we're going to get a Blair Witch Project type movie. But this, you know, if I hadn't seen the budget,
right?
Had I not
right.
seen the budget and I just watched this, I would have guessed at least $10 million. Honestly, just from the shots, the camera angles, you know, it wouldn't have occurred to me that we didn't really leave the particular spot the whole movie, but just the other. And to me, they would have been like, oh, that's why this budget. Yeah.
Wasn't Dr. No a $10 million budget?
Yeah, I think so, right?
Yeah, and that right. was 1963. For
63, that's $100 million.
No, yeah. That was 1958. Yeah, so
yeah, might as well spend $200 million on that. Yeah. But yeah, cool. I think you know, of course, this is a movie that you picked, and this is clearly a movie that you enjoy, and that we all enjoy. And I wouldn't speak out of turn, but you know, it's a movie that I feel like a lot of people enjoy having watched this. But you know, speak to why a movie like this would stand out to you. And of course, there's, you know, a myriad of movies that we all like and will enjoy rewatch. From a rewatchability standpoint, they're always going to be good, but to have a movie like this that hits a lot of different aspects that are atypical for movies that we would feel like we would pick, you know, with a big name, big budget, a big name director, big name actor, something like this. Why does a movie like this jump out and turn into mm-hmm. a movie that we're like, man, this movie is slept on and I really like this?
Yeah, and it's interesting because every once in a while something like that does come across, right? And it's usually, in at least in the past probably 10 years or so, and Chris, you definitely can attest to this as well. It's usually like a foreign film, right? Like something that somebody else, like a brilliant filmmaker who hasn't made a movie in the United States, gets a chance to make a movie, spends X amount of money to do it, and then you get to see just how good they are at their craft, and then nine times out of 10, they get to make movies, you know, continuously after that. And this is also just like it kind of hits in a very specific niche group, which I think is why it may have flew under the radar. But if you like action movies, mm-hmm. there's just a 0% chance that you're not going to like this, right? Because all of the cool stuff that action movies used to do, this movie does, right? So it's kind of like a little bit of a, I would say, like an ode to how action films used to be rather than what we get now. Because this came out, and I think it was 2011, Keith, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so 2011, like right around this time is where we were mostly getting, most of our movies were going to be like Marvel movies, or they were going to be some sort of superhero franchise movies. So you weren't getting a lot of the like 1980s, 1990s action movies that you know, we were used to at the time period. And this is very much like this. This movie is closer to what something Jet Li would have been in, or something that, mm-hmm. you know, I wouldn't say Jean-Claude because he was a little bit more of a comedic actor, but like those styles of actors. And so it kind of hits in a perfect group where if you liked those type of movies, when you see this, it's like, oh yeah, that's fucking perfect. And also the fact that it flies under the radar also makes it kind of cool in itself, right? Because when you introduce somebody to this movie and then they watch it and they're like, how the fuck have I never seen this? It feels amazing. Because it's like, I know what it felt like when you guys were watching this, because you were probably like, what in the fuck is he thinking, telling us to do this movie? And then about an hour into it, you're like, fuck, this thing rocks.
Why didn't he make us do this earlier?
Right, right, exactly. So it's kind of got like a cool thing to it. And last week when I said it's the ultimate if you know, you know movie, I mean that, because it is like
it is.
Anybody that knows is going to be like, yes, this is fucking rules.
Which it does, and you're exactly right. And I'll go and say it didn't take me an hour into this movie for me to be like that. I was legit. I was probably 20 minutes in, and I'm like, yep. Actually, I take it back. I was at the opening credits where
I'm hooked, yeah.
Where our main character was, you know, getting ready for the raid. He was doing the pull-ups, that quick little montage just to start the movie. And then he, you know, walks to his father, and he says,
oh, yeah, dude, he was in the kitchen getting combos off. I was like, fuck.
Yeah, same.
He's doing that shit right by the pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same. Like, I was already.
Man, how fast his fucking hands are. You know, he's got that, like, he does that move a couple times throughout the movie where he, like, puts, like, 15 punches in, like, one split second into the guy's stomach. It's like, man, how does he move his hands that fucking fast?
You should die when you get hit with a couple of those, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
seriously. But he, like, somehow, it feels like he should throw one punch, but he's thrown 57. It's like, Jesus,
like,
Christ.
Am I finding an octopus?
It's like, you blink, you're like, yeah, man, he kicked that guy in the head three times while you blink. It's like, what? What the fuck?
Am I fighting an octopus?
How many of y'all just hit me?
It's when I lost respect for my dad when he asked me if he was fighting an octopus.
He said, how many people just hit me? Oh, fuck, I forgot about that. What a callback. What a good joke.
Man, that joke crushed me. That joke crushed me when he said that. But yeah, I was in at that moment whenever he just we saw that quick montage. We saw his skills from the jump, and then he just walks in the kitchen or wherever his dad was. It was like, I'll bring him back. And then bam, we got opening credits and we are off to the races, boys. Like, this thing, I mean, you know, it doesn't waste any time. It doesn't waste
just moving.
No, yeah. It doesn't waste any movement. And just like even in the choreography when we're talking about like the fight scenes.
He shoots two guys immediately after that and then sticks a hammer in the other guy.
Put the gun on his shoulder and said, hold this till I get back. I was like, oh, this is a real evil fella we're dealing with. What kind of sick shit is this?
Like, the kind of stuff that got other movies where the producer was like, ah, that's too much. They just were like, nope, that's our whole script.
That made me laugh, and I'm ashamed of it, but that shit made me laugh when he said that to that guy. He had just shot four of his buddies, and then he said, hold this for me real quick.
Yeah. So will you hold this for me?
Yeah, James Bond villains don't even do shit like this, man. Like, they have a cold, you know what I mean? No, like, even they're like, all right, that's taking things a little too far. Fuck, just blow up the Capitol building or something. We don't have to do anything like that.
Yeah.
One guy drove a train through a building, but he would never do anything like this.
That crazy, yeah. What's that all about?
Crazy.
But, yeah, we're talking about a movie with a low budget and maximizing and making the best of everything that it does. You know, Chris, I think that, you know, knowing that this movie is low budget and then being able to stretch every dollar and you know, have it run for an hour 40 minutes and then have it where there's no real wasted movement. Every scene feeds into the next and there's not really any kind of slowdown point. That's usually a spot where a low budget movie bogs down, where it tries to do too much. And then we see the low production value because it's like, man, there's too many different scenes. There's too many different plot points. Let's just, like I said, we're in one building. The SWAT team's trying to do one thing, and then they get ambushed. Run with it. Is that what makes this movie, you know, low budget movie successful and entertaining like this one?
Yeah, that is exactly it. Because it is kind of crazy to see something like this, like, almost go for 2 hours. And, like, typically something in a budget like this, they may get you like a tight 90. I know it's just 10 more minutes, but, you know, 10 minutes. You know, they may get like a tight 90.
It's a lot of time.
Maybe even under it, you know? But this one is able to stretch and almost hit that 2 hour mark with a budget of, you know, just a little over $1 million because of that. It just focused on one thing. You know, they didn't need, obviously they did have a couple moments from special effects, but it was mainly just, you know, using these open viable spaces and just having a lot of fighting and, you know, just relying on choreography. And that's just one of those things. If you have, you know, I'm a big fan of put people somewhere that they shouldn't be fighting and let them fight. And if you just have like a bunch of scenes like that, that's just the whole movie. Like, and that'll never, like, you know what I mean? Like, what do you mean they're fighting?
He had, like, the first one for me is when Rama was in the hallway and, like, they had just gotten there and he fought, like, 16 people and was, like, rolling, breaking legs. And it was all in just, like, that tight little disgusting space. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but that's it. Like, you're putting people in these, like, different spaces and it's just, like, you can have a movie where it's just, you know, just fighting and just action the whole time, and it can kind of tire you out a little bit. But when you're doing it like this and it's just so interesting, and, you know, they're doing, and it's not just typical fighting, like, you know, just punch a guy in the face a bunch of times and you, like, these big hooks, and then, you know, like, you roll around for a second and you get into it again. Like, it's like he's rolling around, he's like punching people in their knees, he's elbowing people's toes and shit, and, like, he's doing these just moves that are just so interesting to watch in these places that are you know, for lack of better terms, fun to watch people fight. And you can just give us 2 hours of that, and it's going to be fun every time, because everyone, I mean, some of the ways that he kills people, when he grabs that guy's head and jumps backwards and pulls him down on where the door was, yeah. What the fuck? Yeah. That's like a horror movie. That's some shit Jason Voorhees would do.
Seriously.
But it's awesome.
No one's thought of that.
Exactly.
Either. You know what I mean? Like, there were so many kills in this that were just like, how has someone not done that before? And it was like you were saying, Chris, every move, every punch, every kick, everything was so precise. And, like, you could tell that they did those exact same scenes, like, 5,500
times. Oh, they had to.
Because of how crisp everything was. And it's like, yes, when you have to put a bunch of stuff in post, you don't have the money to do it. But these are just martial arts guys who probably were working on like a minimal salary, but were more than happy to just like keep doing those scenes till they nailed them. And it's like, it really is. It's just the perfect way to use $1 million.
Yeah.
It really was.
I didn't mean to take your.
Look, this is one of those, like, it's all about the collaboration on this, just like it was with the movie, you know? So I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I mean, but, like, even in it's like, you know.
I didn't mean to stab your head through the floor.
It's all right, man. Yeah. It happens to the best of us.
Chris, will you cry when your head was slammed through the floor?
And the guys are coming down from the ceiling or whatever when they've cut the. Damn it! I had one of those saved for later and you stole it. When they blew up the fridge, when they had the old grenade.
Yeah.
Would you cry when the fridge blew up? That's exactly what I was going to say. Damn it. I saw that this morning. I was like, oh, I can't wait to say that shit. I've been sitting here waiting.
Like, I'm about to put this one up. Yeah.
Well, you can still use
it. I was going to tee myself up for it at some point if no one else mentioned. I was like, fuck
it. Use it later on, Chris, and then that'll be a... That'll be a devastating three you can hit down by 47.
Chris Lowry hits a huge three down by 47.
Yeah. Huge three to cut lead to 44.
Oh, man. No, yeah, dude, this is just, you can't get tired of this. When they've got the guy, when they've cut the hole in the roof where they're all dropping down, and that one guy tries, but the SWAT guy tackles him in midair. Like, he's like waiting for him, and he like tackles him and throws him out the window. No one's thought of anything like that before. Exactly. Like, no one would have thought to, oh, someone's coming down, let me try to stop them this way. No one's ever thought to, let's create a scene where, you know what I mean? Like, it's not just how the SWAT person reacted. It's also, no one's ever thought to create a scene to have that happen. You know, obviously, there's more going on, but no one's ever been like, let's have one of the guys come down, and then we'll have them react that way and do that. And you, like, there's just so much stuff in here that, like you said, why has no one thought about this? Like, I saw kills and stuff in here that may not even work. But it's just like, I've genuinely never seen anyone grab someone and just jump backward before. Not even to impale them. I've just never seen someone do a move like that, you know?
Yeah. Right. And like that scene that you're talking about with the hole in the floor is they basically, in one sequence, fight two different action set pieces, right? Because they have the full gun shootout in the hallway, cut a hole in the floor while they're getting sniped, and then continue to have it in the second floor, right? So, like, if you pitch that in a Mission Impossible or any of those movies, they would think you were out of your fucking mind. Because, there's
Tom
just
Cruise
not
like,
a way
oh,
to
no,
pull
man.
Something like that off. And then it's like, no, I've got a perfect transition. It's a guy going through the floor and then getting thrown out a fucking window.
Trust me, it'll work.
It's going to be perfect.
So just hear me out.
I thought that, too, a couple of times. Like, I'm watching, and I was like, this, I feel like it wouldn't work in something like bigger budget because it'd be done in such a different way. You know what I mean? You can tell, like, there was a lot of practicality. Like, someone really did go through that hole in the ceiling or whatever, right? And that might have been, like, obviously they didn't throw him out the fucking window, but it's like...
But they may have because it was, like, you know, based on the way these rooms kind of looked, they were all pretty similar. So I bet it wasn't even, like, a full, like, building. You know what I mean? They probably threw him 4 feet out the window that they built in some studio. Yeah.
But it's like, I feel like there are different movies that would try some of these scenes and... And not to hate on, like, you know, some people, you know, you just don't want to do things practically. Maybe just go about it differently. Like, I don't know, not to shit on a Marvel movie, but, like, I feel like if they tried that exact thing in a Marvel movie, like, it might just, like, look different. Like, because it might be more CGI heavier. It might even just be, like, shot in a weirder way. Or, like, the pacing of the scene would be so different. You know what I mean? Like, it would just be weirder. Like, there, and not just Marvel people. I feel like there's tons of things that we get in modern day that would try to pull off some of these scenes, and it would just feel like less authentic, and it would feel less like raw and just like purely, you know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't have the same sense of, oh, they just threw that guy out the fucking window. It's like, oh, they killed that guy. But in here, you don't say they killed the guy. We literally go, oh, they threw that guy out the window. Like, like you are sold on that, if that makes any sense.
Yep. 100%.
So it's cool to see some of that
stuff. It was really dope. And that's what I was going to talk about. Generally, when it comes to fight scenes, we're used to pretty relatively quick fight scenes, just like we talked about, maybe a Bourne sequence or a Mission Impossible sequence where, you know, something quick hand to hand, or we'll have a little bit of a, you know, a Mike Tyson punch out scenario. With this, we had some long, elaborate fights, but they didn't run on too long.
Very, right? Yeah. And definitely that's in one shot, too. Like,
man, he had kicked that one guy's ass 5 times in one fight.
Yeah.
God just kept coming back. I was like, holy, just you beat a guy's ass 5 times in a span of like 6 minutes. Usually I'm like, seriously, you know what, bro, you won. Never mind.
Yeah, because
I have
good.
Slammed your head through concrete. Yeah. I have cracked your ribs. I lit you on fire, and you're still just like, I got one more in me. It's like, never mind.
I got one more round.
I got one more in me.
I didn't hear it, Bell.
Yeah, just Cole, just talk about that real quick as far as the choreography and just the fight scenes in general, and why these didn't seem to drag out, where generally in a movie it's like, okay, we get it, like this guy should be beaten up by now. But to me, I was so entranced with the choreography of the fight scenes, and I'm like, shit, man, this thing could go on. Like, you're talking about all, like, in particular the one, like, I think in the kitchen where Rama was like on the table fighting that guy, and then they were down on the ground, like, all it was, there was 3 different fights going on at once. Yeah. And I was just like, I want this for another 11 minutes. Just go, you know, kind of elaborate on that. Just the technicality of it, and just how pinpoint accurate and precise it was, and how amazing those fight scenes were.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it was one. I think this is, I mean, I'm sure there are movies that have better fight choreography, but I cannot think of them, just because of just how impactful this stuff was. And I think it was because, like Chris was talking about, they kept it fresh. Right, like there was so much new stuff every time, even when the scene would go on 5 minutes or he would be fist fighting the same guy 4 different times, there was always something new to it, like the way that he would take the gun from his hand, flip it, shoot a guy in the neck, and then keep fighting, or, you know, throw a guy out the window, or, you know, he would break one guy's arms twice, kick him in the face. Like, there was just so much fresh, you know, choreography to it. And I do think that it was because it was just so particularly good, and it was also all done, what you could tell was one shot in most cases, right? And I think that those things, they translate when you watch a movie like this. You can kind of tell, like, there are times in like John Wick where they make multiple different cuts and it keeps you a little disoriented, and that's really fucking cool too. But when you see this, you just know that these guys are doing it all, and then they just continue to do it for 12 minutes, like you were talking about, Keith, where it's just like, that in itself gives you a different, it has a different effect that I don't know that I can really explain, because it just feels like it's more of like this poem, because it's just flowing for long periods of time rather than one badass punch here, cut, okay, let's try it again. Let's do a different punch this way. You're going to hit him here. Cut. It's just like, no, we have to have all of this dialed in perfectly, and then we're just going to run it. Go.
And it worked. And it was amazing. Like, I this felt like a Jet Li movie. This felt like every single scene, especially in particular with Mad Dog, all the scenes he was in whenever he first fought the sergeant, and he was like, you know, this gun. Yeah. He's like, I don't really like using these things. Like, it feels like ordering takeout. He's like, this is my thing.
Anybody that gives you a dissertation about not wanting to kill people with guns.
He's like, yeah, this is my thing right here. And he just put his hands up and he just was ready to fight. It was just crazy how he was. But anyway, yeah, he gave the sergeant like everything he wanted. It was crazy. Absolutely nuts. But that it felt like every time I saw the scenes with him, I was like, this is Jet Li. This is a Jet Li movie. But, you know, it most recently, it does remind me of like the John Wick movies and just how all the technical aspects of the fights and the close quarters and the nut.
And you can tell that John Wick was inspired 100%, by this too.
100%.
Oh yeah.
There are a lot of things that John Wick took and did it with a big budget, and I fucking love those. Those are amazingly choreographed movies. So I'm not trying to make it sound like I'm anti them, but there you can tell there was a lot of things where they were like, oh fuck yeah, we can do something like
absolutely. That. Absolutely. And this movie did another thing where it was really good as far as just the pensiveness and just the uncertainty of what's going to happen next when it came to that SWAT team, because obviously a SWAT raid is going to be hectic and the guys are going to be nervous to begin with. But when it comes to watching them, you know, they go into the place, the building, and of course, and I always love whenever, you know, teams have to go in and they're communicating with like hand signals and have to be quiet. You know, it's like, we got to take out this guard, but we can't be loud with him and all that. But as they get in and we get the one kid who sees the whole SWAT team when he's in the hallway and he alerts the other spotter, and then everything just goes sideways. Chris, talk about a movie that I mean, making the audience nervous, making the audience be like, oh crap, this movie is about to go sideways, does a really good job of doing that. From, because at that point, that is, I'll let you know, that is the 17 minute mark whenever the, I'm sorry, it was a 15 minute mark whenever that first, damn, the first spotter, yeah, 15 minutes, the first spotter sees him and he goes alerts the second spotter before he's shot. And from that point on, it is hectic up until the end credits. How nervous, Chris, were you after, you know, seeing that and the alarm goes get set and just being like, how the hell are these guys going to get out of this?
Well, I mean, the whole setup of it is like crazy, because you've already had them encounter, you know, someone else in that building that wasn't, you know, necessarily like in that gang. So when you see this kid, you're like, is this really just a kid? You know, something else can happen. Someone behind him, they're going to be like a crossfire and he's going to get hit that way. So like, you've just got this moment where you're just like nervous, wondering whose side is he even on a side? Like, is he just somebody neutral who just, you know, unfortunately lives in the building? And when he like turns and starts running, you're like, oh shit, you know, now what's going to happen to him? You know, and he, you think he's going to just pull some alarm, or he's obviously going to alert people somehow. When you shoot a kid 17 minutes into the movie, like, that's how, yeah, like, you have to be like, oh, it's going to be the most insane shit. Because, like, normally movies, like, we'll do this, and then we have to, like, end the movie right after to, like, not, you know, give everybody, like, a heart attack. So when you're 15, you know, less than 20 minutes in, you're like, let's kill this kid. You have to.
And it showed it.
Yeah, in the next shot.
It wasn't like there was a shot, like, and then we just saw the kid laying down.
You just have no choice but like, let me just strap in, because the next hour and 20 minutes are going to be the most insane ride of my life. And boy, like, is it. You know what I mean? Like, most movies don't even want to kill a kid, you know? So when you've just got like, and that's another thing you're thinking of, you're just like, okay, they're not going to kill this kid, because, you know, like, movies just don't like doing it. So you've got like another level of like, well, this isn't going to be something random. Like, he's not just going to, you know, show up and run away and there's going to be no consequence. So like, the whole time you're watching it, you're just thinking of all these different avenues based on like the situation in front of you, combined with like your knowledge of like prior movies and things that, you know, people do and don't do in this kind of scenario, you know, in reality, out of reality. And you truly are just anxious to see what happens. And this moment does genuinely just like trigger the next hour and 20 minutes of insanity. I don't think it's possible to watch that and be calm. If I didn't use my Apple Watch and check my heart rate, that shit would have been like, hey, buddy, you need to go to the hospital.
Like, yeah, it's time to go.
Yeah, because this shit's going crazy.
Yeah, it's just nuts. Like, I was, it was, it legit made me nervous to watch, because I was just like, oh, it felt like Lone Survivor whenever that particular team ran across the kid, you know, with the goat herders, and they had that tough decision, because dude was like, one of them was like, I mean, or a couple of them was like, man, let's just kill them all and bury them out here. And then, of course, you know, we saw the decision that was made, but it felt just like that, where then it's just like, they're just the nervous energy for the rest of the movie, because it's like, what's going to happen? Who's going to come get them? And then, of course, you know, the whole building is trying to kill that SWAT team. So we have the SWAT team against basically a whole building full of people. So that was just, it was just nuts. But we also talk about, again, we always talk about having a good villain, and while Tama was the one controlling, he had Andy and he had Mad Dog as well. Mad Dog was the main villain, because he's the one that we interacted with the most. Obviously, he fights the sergeant, and then he fights our main character in Rama, and he fights his brother Andy as well, and that fight scene goes on for a really long time at the end. But it's, mm-hmm. you know, having somebody like Mad Dog and just having a line, Cole, where he talks about, like, you know, I don't like using guns, it's like taking takeout. How good of a villain does he play? Because we got to have that, because every bad guy is always going to have, like, his right hand, but he had two right hand men in this particular case. One's going to be, okay, one's the smart one, just like he's talked about, then yeah. one's the just the wild card. How good was Mad Dog in this movie?
Yeah, because he's just purely literally. Insane, right? Like, at one point, he unties a guy so that he can fight two people at one time. Mm-hmm. Like, at no point was his expectation that he could possibly lose, and he kind of invited it, right? And that is just, like, pure insanity. Like, we don't normally get characters like that in movies. Especially nowadays, villains tend to have something that you can, like, relate to. Right? Or they try to tell you a story as to why they became a villain. Mad Dog was just fucking crazy, right? He wanted to kill everybody with his bare hands. He didn't want to shoot that guy, right? Like, he was like, we're going to fight mano a mano, and if I die, I die type thing, right? So you get that guy who is just the, you know, I wouldn't say he's not, he is the main villain in a way because he's the one that they fight. But he is kind of just the dog that has been let off the leash, for a very, very cliche way to put that. But you get what I mean by that, because that was he was insane. He didn't have a plan. In a lot of ways, like, the stuff he was doing was, like, really, really badly thought out, because he could have just shot three people and ended the whole raid, right? But he just had his own – he had his own insanity keeping himself from being able to do that. So a character like that is always interesting, because it's like, you don't have any sympathy for that character, and they're not trying to make you. They want you to be scared of him, and that's exactly what they did in this one.
Very, very afraid of him, too, and obviously having him get stabbed in the neck and still fight, like, for another, what, 3 minutes, 4 minutes? Like, yeah, buddy, this guy is wired differently.
Yeah.
Way, way differently. But, yeah, man, I mean, like, the action the action was great. I honestly could have just watched if there was just a 30-minute fight scene where, like, but I mean, we kind of had that, though, where it was, I mean, it was just one continuous fight. It was just in different parts of the building, because, Cole, like you're saying, we had basically two different fights going on at once, where we had, like, they were jumping in a hole, and they all jumped down, and then, like, some guys were jumping down, some were still up, and so we had basically just, like, the camera going back and forth between those particular fights, and so having those that mm-hmm. stuff going on throughout the entirety of, but then what we did have interjected into this, and it was another simple plot point, we had the double cross, and we had, you know, the lieutenant who, the reason why, and I'm going to tell you, the lieutenant was my Jameis Winston, not Mad
that
Dog
fucker.
Yeah, I know, not Mad Dog, not Tama, the main bad guy, but it's the lieutenant Waha, I think, or yeah, Waya, I think is his name, who could have called in reinforcements, but he was like, nah, because then all my dirt would be exposed. So he just let all those guys get killed, man. Like, I mean, we knew something else was going to shake outside, of course, Andy being Prama's brother, but he also is working for the bad guy. Then, you know, having this double cross come in from the lieutenant, Chris, was that something you
also
were expecting with this?
Perfect touch.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting the double cross coming. I just thought it was going to be, let's just work our way up to our bad guy, and then there's going to be a standoff there. Chris, you know, having that double cross added in with the lieutenant and the SWAT team as well, that was a good touch right there for an already good movie.
Oh, yeah, it was a perfect touch to put in there, because you are kind of watching this, and, like, it would be easy to fall into the lull of, like, the only real conflict is fighting all these guys and getting out of this building, and at one point you'd be like, all right, well, you know, he's beat the shit out of everybody, so he may just get away with this. Like, if this is the only conflict, I think he's probably going to be fine. But then to find out, like, you know, this whole thing is engineered as, you know, suicide mission for most of them, so he can go after his own goal. Like, that, even, like, they kind of, like, he reveals it a little early on, you can kind of get a sense of when it's, like, actually stamped down and confirmed to be a double cross. Like, it hits you that much harder, because you do have this moment where you're just, like, maybe he's not necessarily evil. Maybe, like, he's too obsessed with wanting to just get this guy himself. You know, like, maybe he has got something personal. But then it's just like, eh, not really. No, it's like, I'm
a dickhead.
Yeah, I'm just a dickhead. Yeah, and you know, that's, like, perfect, because, you know, for as much as we talk about this movie kind of benefits from keeping itself kind of simple, it is a nice touch to have something, I don't want to necessarily call it complex, but to add like an interesting wrinkle in there that you're able to like keep with the story and not lose control of it. Because you see all the time people do a double cross and you can just lose your whole movie trying to find a way to make that like rational from the last hour that you watch and try to make it wrap up in a nice way. But I mean, they do it in here, and combined with everything else we've got in the film, it really does just elevate. I think the film still would have been super enjoyable without it, but to be able to, you know, take the minimal plot that you've kind of built up and be able to throw a double cross in there and make it work really effectively, a cool touch. You know what I mean? It goes back to, man. They just got a bunch of people who know how to make movies. They just, like you said, they got 10 people. And it's like, you, I believe you can find a way to pull this off. Let's do it. And they did it.
Yeah. Simple.
You're not supposed to talk about the writing in a movie like this.
You're not. You're like, not supposed so simple, to be like, able to talk about the plot or the, you know, the fact that it's two brothers with some kind of complex history that they don't even have to tell you about, right? Like, that's great storytelling when you don't have to spoon feed us that they have some sort of issue. We just know it, right? And we just know that the YU character is doing something sketchy. Like, we just know it. Like, they don't have to hand feed any of this shit to us. It's great.
Polo.
It's great storytelling. Yeah.
Everyone else had official shirts on in that vest. He's like, what's he doing with this polo?
Yeah, exactly. I did think that was dressed different. That was super, you know what I mean? You didn't trust him from the beginning. They also like did a really good job to make sure that they took a shot of a very expensive watch on his wrist, right? Like they did at the beginning when he checks his time, he has like a fancier watch, and like all of that was by design, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, he's tricks, obviously man, up so to many something. There ain't a police lieutenant just wearing a Speedmaster.
Yeah.
Right, and truly he would have been at the command center or stayed in the van or something and just let the other grunts do the work, right? He wouldn't have run in there himself. So obviously we definitely got some different little treats or tips to let us know, like, okay, yeah, something, this guy isn't on the up and up for sure. A couple little Easter eggs for our guy, and obviously he turns out to be a complete jerk. But yeah, man. I mean, like this movie bangs. I'm actually,
yeah. Like, I know he's their boss, but he definitely had money they didn't have. Like, yes.
Right, exactly. Intentionally.
Yeah, I've access to a couple of funds that no one else is thinking about.
Oh yeah, absolutely. This I'm actually really excited to watch the sequel too, Cole. I'm glad you pointed that out. I may have to check that out this weekend. But I do want to move into the categories.
Yeah, you'll dig it, man.
I'm excited to watch it.
They just keep it running.
I'm down. So down. But as we move into the categories, I'll talk.
Said you guys like this? Fuck it. We'll do it again.
Yeah, let's run it back. I got one more in me. But as we move into the categories, surprisingly, I did have two laugh out loud scenes, and I don't know how I managed to do that in a movie like this, but I did. One was the scene that we talked about, where Tama was like, watch this for me, I'll be right back. I don't know why that made me laugh so hard, but it did. Like, because that was a very violent scene, because we were getting the quick explanation of how ruthless of a bad guy he was, right? So it was like,
he's so fucking violent.
Executing four people, and then he was out of bullets, so he told that guy to hold the gun to get more bullets, and then he saw a knife in the drawer and decided to use that as well. But the watch this for me, I'll be right back had me laughing. But also, when Rama had his, he was, you know, he had his injured, I don't want to call it teammate, but other injured SWAT member with him. And he was like, the guy was like, if this bastard cuts me, I'm going to fucking haunt you. Because he was like, we're going to go to, you know, they're going to go to that tenant that they took to room 726.
He said, fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said, this bastard cuts me, I'm going to fucking haunt you. So those two scenes had me laughing. Cole, what about you?
Man, when he called for backup, the crime lord, basically when the guys walked up and shot the shit out of that SWAT van, like they just shot 400 rounds into that thing. And it was just like the total, like there was like 30 seconds of just like, yeah, this is unnecessary. Yeah.
One of those guys is already dead, too. They fucking hit that other guy from 100 yards away.
Right. And then just put down 70 rounds into the window for some reason. Also, weren't those things bulletproof? There was a lot of things in that I was just like, just dying laughing from.
Yeah.
You didn't tell me that SWAT van doesn't have bulletproof glass.
Yeah, that driver in that SWAT van got shot like that dude in No Country for Old Men whenever Josh Brolin got in the truck with him.
Yeah. He was like talking about the game, took a fucking bullet to the throat.
Yeah, he took two.
He should have had his head on a swivel, though, man. You can't be like just fucking off when there's a raid.
They're on a raid. He's reading a fucking newspaper. Dude, come on, keep your head in the game. Like keep the radio on. Be ready.
Keep your head in the game, man.
Bro's in there reading the funny papers, and he takes two to the chest.
Crossword puzzle and shit. It's like, hey, man.
It's like three letter word for.
Yeah. Starts with L. What's a four-letter word for shot in the face?
Yeah.
All right, Chris, what was your laugh out loud scene?
Bullet came. Clean them up.
Big time.
Oh, man, I won't lie to you. The old grenade in the refrigerator trick.
It's pretty sweet.
That shit was so funny. It was a cool kill, but it was also just like very funny. He's like, when I pull this and say so, run. Fucking puts it in there, just flips it around and opens it, and it blows the wall out.
Yeah.
And Thomas asking the guys, he's like, you know, what was that? We found out who we're dealing with. And he goes, how many rooms have we lost so far? Or he's like, how many rooms did that put us back? He goes, what's the damage? It's pretty contained. I guess we've lost no more than two rooms. And Thomas goes,
not bad.
It's not bad.
That's not bad yet. It's like,
yeah, all things considered, I guess he's right.
He said they have their stashes there. It can pay for the damages. That's what he said.
Yeah. Put a grenade in our fridge and blew a hole in the side of your building. You're like, it could have been worse.
Yeah, it could have been worse.
Yeah. We can manage those risks. So that one was pretty funny.
There's a lot of gunfighter, but... That at a point it did subside, and we just got a lot of hand to hand combat. So, I went with the martial style that was showcased majority of this movie. I'm saying, who do you have?
Man, I'm going with Mad Dog just because they clearly knew what they had in him as like a martial artist, because they were just like, fuck it, let's do like four scenes of him fighting somebody. And he wasn't even a main character, you know what I mean? Like, I get it with Ico Uwais, I get it with all the others, but he was like a villain, and they were just like, man, this guy rocks so fucking hard, let's just let him fight four different people. Yeah. So I'm going with Mad Dog. I forget the actor's name, but I can pull it up.
Jan Rubian?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
No shot I pronounced it right, but.
Naruto?
Yeah. Gave him my old grenade in the refrigerator straw.
That's all we can ask for, is put a grenade in the refrigerator and hope for the best.
Yep.
You've all been there.
Sure have. Too many times.
We have all been there. Who'd you have for Mr. Mustang, Chris?
I went with that hammer, man. I won't lie to you. It's like the most memorable hammer in a drum I've ever seen.
Fair.
How are you as a hammer leaving a bit of a more scarring impact than a gun that also is used like a prop comedy gag, you know, 5 seconds before you're on screen somehow? Most traumatic scene of all time, and the weapon is like a prop gag, and then like, here's this hammer that's going to be even worse. Like, because it catches you off, like, it really does just pop up, and you're like, oh, he's not going to care about that. He is going to grab the bullet. And then you, like, I think he, like, grabs the bullet and, like, just moves it out of the way to grab the hammer. And I'm like, oh, yeah, sick fella.
This is a crazy motherfucker.
This is a nasty man. So, yeah, I had to go up the hammer, dude.
He and stood like, in line. He cashed a roll of quarters.
Come in. He's gonna wait for the bank to open. He's gonna
wait for the bank to open. He's gonna change a 10.
Get a roll of quarters. All right. So for Jameson, I don't know, the lieutenant who was just a dirtbag. He He lied about a lot of things. We had the double cross. He lied about a lot of things. Double cross. He didn't call in for reinforcements. He was a dirtbag way around. He had all that dirt too. So he's the reason why the whole team was killed, just to clear his name. So he just a bag lieutenant. Cole, who would you have?
Same. It's an all-time performance too, because he kind of, like, not only was he this scumbag, he kind of just sucked too. Like, he wasn't good at the actual thing that he said that they could handle. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he at any point actually seemed like he could shoot somebody until he shot the one guy that was not expecting to be shot. So fuck that guy. Why you, for sure.
Yeah. Handcuffed. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so you got
same person. Why you? I mean, his plan was just, it sucked. Like, it was, he didn't even know how low on the totem pole he was. Like, he thought he was really going to pull something off.
And yeah. Tom was like, you know, everybody.
Yeah, he's like, everyone that you report to, like, I've already bought them out. Like, I'm good. And like, it's just a poor, it was a poorly thought out plan, because it was doing, like, you think you're just going to, like, make it out of, like, even if, you know, you have them, do you really think that, you know, your small SWAT team is going to overwhelm everybody in that building and you will just be able to have their leader hostage and just get out of there? It's like, no shot. Someone's going to catch you from behind and throw a harpoon through your chest. So that, and like you said, Cole, he just didn't seem like he could do anything. Like, the one time he looked tough, he had to get the guy who was, you know, handcuffed in flip-flops and wasn't looking at him. He had to have a gun. So, yeah, his plan sucked. He couldn't do anything. And he showed up in that shirt. I would have been like, when I got on the van that day and he had that shirt on, I'm like,
Nah, you ain't coming along, bro.
Something's not right here. You're not dressed for the kind of activity we're about to get involved in. Everybody else dressed like a fucking Avenger, and he's dressed like an accountant with a bulletproof vest. He looked like a hostage with a bomb.
Yeah, seriously.
And I'm like, no, sir. What do you mean you're not wearing a helmet? Why aren't you scared like us? I don't understand.
Yeah, we all got, like, full gear on. You're just rolling around with a fucking watch on. Like, I got this.
I went with Gareth Evans right here. Gareth made a $1 million budget. It's awesome. The work was great. Of course, the choreography teams were incredible. The action was great. It was a really good movie, very entertaining. So he put off, man, with the low budget and four people in the movie. He crushed it and got a sequel. So, Gareth, hats off to you, buddy. It's my rent-to call.
Yeah, I think that's the right answer, Keith, but I'm going with Eco UAs because that's my dude. And he really carries, the guy who played Rama, so the main character, he really carried the weight of this movie and a lot of times because of how good of a martial artist he is. Because I do feel like there were a couple scenes there where it was like, this movie could have gotten lost, but then he puts together three of the best choreographed fights I've ever seen. So that guy just fucking rules, and all of his movies are this kind of stuff. So he does this time and time again. So I got to go with Eco UAs.
Solid.
I went with Yayan Rubion, man, as Mad Dog. He was just, like, phenomenal. Yeah, it's weird because they described him as, like, there's the genius and the Mad Dog. And when you first see him, you think it's the other way around. Like, you think that Rama's brother, you think that Andy is like the Mad Dog, and, like, you know, Yaya is playing the more genius character. Even, like, one of the first interactions they have, it still seems like he isn't, you know, like, he just seems like he's more of, like, the brand, and also he's a little bit shorter. He seems like he's a little bit smaller. And, you know, then you see him start to kick people's ass, and you're like, oh, I've been tricked. He's the insane motherfucker. And he's just, like, he's phenomenal. Like, he's fun to watch in all of those scenes. He has that, like, really menacing presence. Like, and I think, like, it in a weird way, it's kind of, it works with the fact that he's, like, typically the shortest person in every scene, but he still has this, like, weird, like, built, like,
he has that presence, man. Yeah, but he is so small at a couple times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like you said, you can, like, look at him like, oh, that guy's actually kind of huge at the same time. Like, he's, like, in this really, really dangerous shape. And I mean, like, he is just intimidating the entire time. Of course, that scene where he's like, you know, I don't like using guns, you know, it's like order takeout. And he just wants to fight people. And he does. He just goes around fighting. I mean, he gets stabbed in the neck and he does genuinely proceed to kick, like,
keeps fighting
in the chest, like,
and he doesn't slow down.
You should get stabbed anywhere and you should be done kicking people. But he got stabbed in the neck. It's like, I'm going to kick you in your chest at least three more times.
Right. He does it. Yeah. He was such a badass that they were like, no one's going to believe him losing unless we put two people on it, and they still get their ass beat most of the fight. Yeah. Right? Like, it was more of like a luck of the draw that they got out of that one.
They had to kill him like you kill a demon, dude. They didn't just like beat him up enough. He gave up. Like, yeah, two people had to jump. He broke
both of his arms.
Stab. Yeah. Stab him in the neck. And even then, like they had to like just rip his whole throat out.
Like he was like a werewolf or something, dude. Like if you don't get his right. whole head off, like he'll come back.
And I was
exercising and shit at a cloth.
There's a priest there. It's like, what the
They both left the room and in the angle of him just laying on the floor. I was expecting him to stand up.
I won't lie, you like the way that they lingered the shot and they walked out, I was like, he's gonna fucking twitch or something. Like,
all right, so the best scene I went with that is a little shot that I talked with first spotters with alert the whole building was up. I thought there was a cool shot and that bullet through the wall and all of that. And then, of course, the movie goes sideways after that. So it set up what was about to be the rest of the movie and all the action that followed it. So that's my best scene. Cole, what did you have?
Man, I absolutely like, and I've seen this movie a lot, so mine is going to be a little bit more obscure just because most of the time I would say the Mad Dog fighting the brothers, but I'm going to go with the sword being stabbed through the wall. Just because like that shot of him cramped in that corner, getting stabbed across the face, and then realizing he needed to put his hand up there with the glove so that when he pulled the sword back out, it didn't have blood on it. Just all that sort of stuff that like those small attention to details that this movie did, it was just like a perfect representation of that, because it was just like, man, this is like where, you know, those movies that it's one of those movies where you don't know if these details are realistic or not, but they feel it. You know, it's like, oh yeah, of course, that's exactly what he would do. He would get the blood off the sword. But like I don't know if that's how it would work going through a wall or not, but you know, he did that and it was just like, oh yeah, absolutely, that makes sense. So in the moment you feel it. But yeah, I just love that scene. I think that was like really good filmmaking.
Mm-hmm. No, it was awesome. It was really dope. It was so tense, like everything was better just having that knife on the wall. That was dope. What did you have, Chris?
Well, Cole, in your honor, I will pick the brothers fighting Mad Dog, because yeah, that shit just rules. Like,
yeah.
That fight was so cool. And it's like, and it's almost like you don't realize how crazy some people are until they just do some crazy shit. Like when he walks in, he's beating up Andy, and he like, you know, he just lowers him. You think he's like, oh, okay, he's going to lower him. I was like, he wants this to be like a fire to have all the rooms. So, like, he's going to lower Andy and get him out of the chain. So like he won't be in the middle of the room, so Andy can, you know, go fucking hide in the corner to have the whole space to fight.
No,
and
sir.
Even as they're like starting to walk, he like motions him away. I thought he's like, okay, so he's telling him to get out of the way. And I was like, oh, he wants to fight both of them. Like, it's one of those.
Yeah, he goes and stands in the fucking middle.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, both of you fight me. And it's like you said, that's how you have to get rid of a character, because we've seen him do so much cool shit. And he's built up to this like dangerous antagonist. Like, to get to this fight, you see the brothers kind of, you know, work together. I'm like, that's ultimately cool, and you know, that's like how it's gonna, that's gonna be like the last, that's how it's gonna end. But to see them have to team up to fight, you know, Mad Dog, and he's still, you know, they had to kill, he was winning, they had to, if yeah. that light hadn't shattered, they probably would have been,
they both be dead. Yeah,
yeah, like when Rama, I guess when he flipped him over and he accidentally kicked the you know, the light, and he kicked the bulb and broke that piece down. If he just doesn't do that move, they 100% just both die, because they have no reason. You know, that's, you have to kill that guy. There is no like ass kicking you can give him to. You can't kick his ass out the plot. You have to cut his head off, damn near.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, the fight was just fun. Like, I'm always a big fan too of like team ups in fights. Like, I like seeing people do like those, like, best way I can describe it, like team up moves, I guess is exactly what it is. Like, you know, some of those are really cool. I mean, they had moments where, you know, they're like grabbing them, and like there's one where Rama's like grabbing them to throw them, and Andy gets in like just this one like soft kick in the chest. Like, it's a hard kick, but it's like, it's such a random thing that did need to be there. But it was like the ultimate fuck you, and it's just like this random kick in the middle of the chest while he's throwing you.
Yeah.
And it's cool. Like, that's like a great scene, and Man, I can't stop thinking about what you said. That's the only way you can deal with the character. That he's just too badass to be like,
yeah,
we're going to do a one-on-one and he's going to lose. Like, nope, you have to jump him and kill him.
You got to exorcism that motherfucker.
Yeah, he's a demon, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
I don't want to run into him.
Fuck no.
No.
Even like a normal circumstance.
Yeah. Like even just like the actor, which I'm sure is a great dude, yeah. But like I just don't want to be, I don't want to be in the same vicinity.
Oh no, man, he's doing his own stunts. He can do some shit. I don't want to do that. Oh
yeah, he still can fuck you up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine a guy like those in the last two, like in the first, get some like edamame peas, and there's like one bag left. Like yeah, man, you can have them.
Yeah,
they're all yours, bro.
I don't even like animal, man, for real. I don't know what I was thinking even be. I don't know why I'm in this store, actually.
Yeah, I don't even eat food.
Is there anything else you're going to do here so I can make sure that I don't do
it? You know, some books, they only eat vomit.
Yeah, I read about it. In a book. Got some crawdads, y'all. Some crab apples. A saucier down in San Antonio.
Saucier. Instead, tone. Or did you see anything on the awards front?
Nah, no awards. I mean, it was a low budget action film, so we weren't gonna get much. I do think, however, though, like 15-20 years from now, we're gonna look back and be like, man, how did this movie get missed as much as it got missed?
Mm-hmm. No. Seriously, how did it not make $200 million?
Yeah.
All right. So on the trivia front, wasn't a ton I saw. I don't know if you guys may have seen anything, but the one interesting thing that I did say that the body count was 121 in this movie.
121. Yeah, it feels low. I was gonna say like 121 is a lot, but somehow 121 people. Like that's crazy.
Did you guys see trivia?
Yeah, that was mine. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I didn't really see it. There's one of those. It's just like it's kind of low budget. It's so straightforward, like nothing really happened with them filming it, so I hadn't seen
yeah either. There aren't any like
yeah
Matt they Damon was gonna be in this
tidbits.
Yeah
looking to get Chris Hemsworth, but he was busy with Extraction.
Black Hat
production.
All right, everybody. So that is the Raider Edition. You can find that on Netflix. But now we're back to my pick. So we are actually going to stay on Netflix. This movie is a little bit more recent. It was actually came out last year. Just a fun action ride of a movie. A lot of my favorite actors are in it. A lot of great action sets. Like the comedy intertwined. It's just awesome. So we are going to do Bullet Train on
about
2022.
Do it.
Yes, sir. I really enjoy this movie a lot. It's a good one. Brian Tyree, whatever you're in, I'm
yeah, he rules, man.
Netflix and watch Netflix and Bullet Train. But for all of us here, Kevin,